Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on this glorious Wednesday. Still trying to catch up on my sleep from the Vegas debacle, and hopefully I'll find out some more information about what made that whack job go totally bananas. But markets, I don't care. New highs again. They continue to the beat goes on, but of course we continue to watch the dull market that has no volume, no volatility, and nobody gives a crap. I think we're now seeing a little bit of a bounce in gold, and I got into a little battle yesterday through the war of words, and you know, my contention is very simple. All right. Bitcoin and gold are competing for similar dollars, because if you're buying one or the other, you're looking to hide or protect or put some away, and of course, first of all, I don't own any Bitcoin. That'd be the first thing. Okay. Now, I do believe that it is competing for the gold, the dollar, the gold, the money that goes into gold or silver. I do believe that it has a potential now of a non-believer before, which I was. I'm now becoming a believer in the technology and where we can go from here. Now, you know, again, I can't say to 100% certainty, obviously, but certainly, you know, I would be looking to potentially invest in some of the cryptocurrency space, you know, very small amounts of dollars. Again, kind of like any other investment. One that you expect that, you know, if it doesn't pay off, that you're not going to lose any sleep over. But certainly I wouldn't be surprised if we do see more of the cryptocurrency world take over a little bit. I think that, you know, we are seeing a slight rebellion against the Federal Reserve and the fiat currency system, which I do agree with. I think that the manipulation of currency, the manipulation of dollars is no good. And I'm quite frankly, I'm pretty sick and tired of them having so much power. All right. That, you know, again, the Fed, they control every walk of life and don't do a very good job at it. So that, again, to me, is why you've got some of these cryptos taking off. You know, one part of the argument I had was that, well, you know, Bitcoin is a fiat currency. Well, it's really not a fiat currency, and the only way it can be manipulated is through money right now, and somebody'd have to step up and take a pretty big shot. But gold is still somewhat, you know, controlled by government. Yes, it is a hard asset, but it is dependent on, you know, what the dollar and what interest rates are doing. So I think that becomes something else to think about. You know, again, this is not the absolute gospel. This is just kind of what I'm looking at. And one of the reasons I think gold has not performed as well as it should have. And, you know, what does it mean in the big picture? Well, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you know, everything takes time, you know, to be a recognized asset class. I mean, you know, it's certainly very acceptable. I mean, it does trade 24 hours an hour, you know, 24 hours a day. And it is truly a free market, whereas gold is not necessarily a true free market. And of course, that is one of the problems that I see in the world today, is we don't have a lot of free market things going on. We don't have a totally free market environment. We can think it's free, but when the Fed is controlling it, and they're controlling it through monetary policy, that doesn't reek of a free market. That reeks of a market that's got issues. That reeks of a system that is controlled not by the buyers and sellers and the investors or price discovery, but more by the ability of the Fed to be clueless and trying to make things happen, you know, in the markets for basically their benefit. Okay, they will tell you it's for our benefit, but it's basically for their benefit. Okay, because they want to, they have to pay back that $4.5 trillion that they've created, and of course, this is the whole deal in a nutshell. All right, you've got a party that is reducing your asset value by manipulating your currency, and at the end of the day, that's what becomes the bigger problem. That is why it's so ridiculous. That is why we have, or me, as in we, have an issue with what they're doing. Now, you know, again, it's when you do, when you have somebody who can direct and change value, then you don't have necessarily that, what we call that true and free market. That becomes my bigger concern. And to go back to where we came from is that Bitcoin, or one of them, is A, viable, and B, probably more than likely that it will become an accepted source. We will see if it remains as the true free independent driven by the way that market is supposed to be done, which is by true price discovery and the true exchange of wealth, not phony, not designed. But kind of what we're seeing now, even in stock markets, I mean, levels are ridiculous levels. PEs are a joke. Everything's a joke. And at the end, at some point, we will see a beatdown. But again, on the other side, from the beatdown is the opportunity for the markets to, you know, will go higher over time, should probably sell off sometime in the short term. That's really where we are. It's hard to say we want to short the market because obviously if we're trying to short the market, we're trying to guess the top. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, experiencing some punishment over the years in trying to make that effort. So that, again, becomes something that we have to understand. And we have to let markets do what markets do. And that's one of the problems that we have here, is that's why the Bitcoin or the cryptocurrency space does what it's going to do and does not necessarily have any true interference. And that is something I think is just something that bears noting and is worth thinking about. Again, will it change what the stock market does today around? No, it won't. But it's just knowing what's going on. And that's really more of my concern, is for everybody to understand what's going on. I mean, we're not going to be able to change things overnight, but certainly having a better understanding might help us do something better. In the meantime, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update every day. After the close, I email it to you. All I have to do is email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com, and I will send you that. And of course, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. And you can also get the Sporting Edge there, which keep your investing, all of your investing needs taken care of, both sports and business. In the meantime, we're going to stop by here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and come back with Rural Rally Radio. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're coming right back. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and here we go. Let's go to Rural Rally Radio and see what I got to say about the grains and everything else in that space. We're going there right now.
Todd Horowitz of Bubba Trading. Good morning, sir. I sent you an email yesterday. Hope you're doing well.
John, how are you, buddy? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Well, this grain market last night on the overnight trade, again, here just kind of drifting along. It seems like a very, very quiet trade.
And it is. It's a little bit lower right at the moment. And I think one of the things that we, you know, have to understand is that markets themselves are very quiet. And, you know, unless you need to be in or unless you need to be doing something, there is not much to do here. And even as a speculator, it's, you know, I mean, I look at the at corn and I say it looks okay around, you know, 345 to 350. I'd be a buyer. Soybeans, I'm still concerned about that, you know, that 977 on the upside. You see, we failed there three or four times already. And wheat, you know, still is a top performer and, you know, probably is a buy somewhere in this neighborhood. But factually, there's not much to do. And I don't know that we would get any major follow through on either in either direction right now based on the lack of overall interest right now. And I think that has goes into basically almost all markets across the globe.
And you bring up a great point, Todd. You can tell where the money is going. All you have to do is turn and look at the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500. You can see where the fund money is flowing to, and that sure leaves the commodities out of the equation right now. Now, that may change, but down the road with outside influences. But it's going to take a pretty big influence, isn't it, as much excitement as there is about the financial market?
Well, yeah, I do believe, John, that there's going to be a big turnaround, and I've made a lot of my predictions, I guess we'll call them, my levels based on that the stock market will sell off a little bit and that money will flow back into the alternative space, which one of the top alternative spaces is the grain market. And I do expect to see that. That's why I'm not afraid to buy here. I think at the levels we are extremely low. I mean, obviously never too cheap because that's where they're priced, but certainly inexpensive based on where I think they can go. And I am expecting a very solid fourth quarter. Obviously, we haven't had a great kickoff this quarter because we're still dull. We're like, nobody cares about any. And again, it really talks about all markets, even the equities, with all their excitement. They're going up on about 50% of normal volume in the futures market, which is pathetic. And there's no volatility. Nobody cares. We just kind of dribble higher, and that is the natural rotation of markets. Equity markets will drift higher on with no action, and grains and agricultural markets will tend to drift a little bit lower because people are taking their money out and putting it there because they at least feel they can get a dividend. And that's one of the things we're seeing. I think it's just extremely eerily quiet, we'll call it.
I like that term. Is there a point where that equity market's going to have to go through a consolidation?
You would think now. I mean, if you look at the overall patterns, the Russell, the small cap, which is a big leader, had what I would call a blow off to the upside. Price and time became irrelevant and buyers just kept buying and buying. At some point, it should consolidate. But, you know, we've seen markets ignore every bit of bad news, which is common. And we've also got the what we call overall complacency in the world. And everybody knows that the market's always going to go up and it's never going down again. Of course, you and I both know that eventually changes because this time is not different. It will be the same as always. And right now, you have to be just very careful and very cautious. There's just not really any reason to be involved. It'd be a great time to be on the golf course if you didn't have to work.
Oh, that's probably good advice. Well, so what does a grain and livestock, or let's focus on grains, what does a grain producer right now? Because he looks at all of this and says, goodness, you know, this is depressing, while he's sitting on the combine. They just put it in storage, go out and buy a little bit of protection in the market. What's your advice?
Well, I like to have always everybody to be hedged. That's my number one thing. But number two is, you know, if you can store it, okay, then pretend it's like your bank account and put it in your storage. Now, again, you know, not everybody has the ability to store what they have. And if you have to start paying for it, then you have to value what is my cost of storage versus where do I expect it to go? And, you know, because what if I'm wrong? So that's where, but if you can store, I'm definitely locking it up. I'm not selling it here. I would protect it here just in case. Again, you know, protection is relatively inexpensive if you know what you're doing and you know how to do it. But I would not be a seller here, especially into the cash market, unless, again, I needed the money and I had to pay back some notes or some other things. But I would certainly hold as much as I could that did not cost me to put in my own bins.
Excellent point. Mr. Todd Horowitz here with us with Bubba Trading. We need to take a real quick break, and when we come back, Horowitz are on this Wednesday morning with Bubba Trading. Wow, what an interesting week this has been for the livestock trade. Let's go with the cattle first. Everybody's getting all bulled up here.
Well, I think with good reason. I think that the fats, for sure, had met their objectives to the downside and have started the rally. And now that we're rolling over to December, we're in that, you know, nice contango formation all the way until next June. So certainly we look for higher prices along the board. And again, if everything else is correct, which I'm always questionable when they tell me how good the economy is, but if they happen to be right, then that should also be good for cattle, because that would mean more people be going out to eat, you know, steak dinner. So again, it brings a lot of good things in, and I think the prices were fairly done, and I thought the charts looked really well. And I've been a buyer, and I'm still looking to be for spots to buy fat cattle. I think the feeders are a little bit overdone here. I think that they have a pretty good sell-off coming. But again, I would be looking, as a buyer, I'd be looking to buy any nice sell-off. And I think they're going to go back and test the, you know, 142, 143 level once again before actually going back up and getting back in line with fat cattle. So I think that, you know, feeders, I would not want to be a buyer here, but I would want to be a buyer in a dip. Fats, I'm looking for just dips to keep buying it. I think that it goes much higher. And of course, I know you want to talk about the hog market, which has been absolutely bananas when you look at it. I mean, it's been wild just the way that October, which comes off in 3 days, versus December, you know, December continued to rally, and October went, you know, into a holding pattern. It was amazing how much it jumped over. But this has been really, if you go back and look at the last 6 months, each expiration or each time that we come off the board, it's been that way where the back month starts to push up and overtakes hugely the front. And I think this is something we're going to see here. And I'm a fan of hogs, but I think now December, we need to pull back probably around 58 is where I'd be looking to buy again.
Really? That's pretty interesting. Well, we touched that limit higher yesterday on that nearby October for just a little bit. Was that just kind of a tipping of the hand here? Was a peek into what could be down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have, you know, good things above, and typically, you know, this time of year prices are low to begin with. But I think what you've seen is some pretty good buying going in there, and certainly we had every opportunity to just tank them again as they did last year. You know, last year at this time, you know, cattle was under a dollar, and hogs were like in the 40s. So I think that, you know, you've got a solid standing here, and I think what we need now is a little bit of a sell-off. You know, markets don't go straight up, they shouldn't go straight down, and we'll look for an opportunity now because they look really strong. And again, going back to an overall good economy, that would create, you know, more need and more demand.
Interesting. So they got to have something fundamental to hold on to here to be able to move forward, and you think that's demand?
I think it's demand, and again, truthfully, you know, if people are looking to buy, then they don't necessarily need fundamentals. Remember, we people sometimes just buy and they buy ahead, and that's one thing that we might be seeing. You know, there is a search and for place to go, and we know most of it goes to the stock market. But you know, when the hogs did get awfully cheap, maybe they were starting to go there a little bit as well. So we'll see how it plays out. But I would certainly expect, you know, probably, you know, 4 or 5% dip. And then again, I'd look to be stepping right back in and loading up again, because I think we do go higher.
Todd, do you think that this dollar is just going to kind of chop around here in this upper 92, lower 93 area?
I think the dollar is going to go much higher. But I do not think that will have an adverse effect on the commodities this time. I think what we've all finally realized is that the dollar is really artificial, and because it's more manipulated by the Fed, that you have these currency wars going on, and we didn't see a great big huge pop in grains, for example, when the dollar went down. We didn't see a big pop in the dollar when the dollar got creamed. You know, remember, the dollar was $1.04 and went down to 91, and we didn't hit, and the grains went down in the same period of time. So to me, we're kind of eliminating the effect of what the dollar really means here, because I think it's been figured out that it's really just a matter of financial manipulation or currency wars.
Mr. Todd Horowitz here with Bubba Trading. How do we get a hold of you, sir?
You can reach me at bubba@bubbatrading.com, and certainly love to hear from you. And we do all kinds of seminars and webinars trying to help people going. And I'm going to make it a big trip out to the lands, and I'll be stopping by to see everybody. So just reach out to me, bubba@bubbatrading.com. It'd be great.
Yes, sir. Have a great day, Todd.
Thanks, John. You too, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Same here. All right. We've got.
And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of here for a break, and we will be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Come from.
How about you?
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And for those of you who've been demanding him and wondering where he was on Monday, he's back today because I was out of town. I was stuck in Las Vegas. But here it is, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Never fear, he is here now. What's up, Matt Demeter?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well too, Todd.
I appreciate it. It's great to have you. And of course, everybody missed you on Monday. And I said, don't worry, he's coming. He's coming. We just got to get things done. And of course, we've got, you know, not the strangest markets I've ever seen, because I would be, you know, it'd be ridiculous for me to say that. I've seen crazy markets, but this is one crazy market that really has, I think the key factors that I look at, Matt, and I want to get your feel of this, but there is no volume, there's no volatility, there's really no interest. And they in markets in that kind of environment just kind of tend to drift, and they drift higher. And of course, we are making new highs almost every day. What do you think?
Well, yeah, we're making new highs. We've broken through a lot of important resistance levels that I was looking at, and I think now we're going to go higher. I think if you look across the board, though, everything is overbought. So if you look at, you know, daily RSI, for example, I'm looking at IWM. Daily RSI is almost at 86. The last time it was that high, it was only that high once before, and that was 2003. So, I mean, these are really overbought conditions. I think we're going to get some short-term pullbacks, at least, back down to these breakout points. And then I think we're probably going to move back to the upside, just because these were important resistance levels that just broke. So, I'm not bullish. It's hard to be bullish when you're at, you know, PEs of 30, you know, but from a technical perspective, I think, you know, everything's overbought. We should get a pullback. And then I think there's probably one more big leg to the upside.
All right. And so when you say, but now, did your NYA, did that hit your target, or has that still got room to go?
It took, you know, so last week it hit that level, and it just pounded against it for 3 days, 3.5 days, just chopped. It didn't pull back so much as just, you know, it saw the line that I wanted it to see, pulled back a little bit, came back up, jackhammered that line until it just finally gave way. And then once it did, you know, that's what we've seen over the past couple of days, where we've just been going, you know, essentially vertically.
Right. We're going vertically on a market without volume or volatility. I know that doesn't affect you as much as it affects me. But when I look at it, that's a tough trade. And basically, you know, a lot of times I say, you know, maybe it's time just to observe and watch, because, you know, again, I'm not really excited to jump in and try to get long up in these positions. I mean, you know, but again, you and I are much shorter term. Well, I'm probably a little shorter than you are, but, you know, you're not in it for, and you'll set something. So we are seeing, as you wrote, unprecedented action. And what's going on with the VIX futures? Now, that would be one thing that might be interesting, is the VIX did not make a new low, although the indexes continue to make new highs.
Right. Yeah. So down in these single digits here, just in the nines, the commercial traders continue to buy. We were at a record, as we talked about last time, we were at a record all-time high in the commercial VIX long position. And then the subcategory of just the commercial dealers, they added 20,000 more contracts. Now they're both the overall picture and the dealers are an extreme. So they're at about 100,000 contracts in the dealer subcategory. The it's at 180,000 on the overall commercial category, both of which are an extreme category. So, I, you know, they're take. I assume they're not too pleased with the losses they're taking.
I would assume so, but again, I always say that they have long positions that go against them, and they're just more kind of doing a hedge. That's my opinion there. But to, so, where's your now? Do you have new targets yet of where we could go, or where you see? Like you always know, you always measure it out, and you've got an idea. Do you have those yet?
Yeah, the one that seems to be the clearest for me is actually the NASDAQ composite, and that's the one I'm, you know, I always want to go with the clearest, and it will rotate depending upon, you know, just which pattern I'm looking, you know, at any given time, one pattern is going to be more exact than another. And right now for me, that's the NASDAQ composite. And to me, it's pointing up to 8,000. And then at that point, if we were to get to 8,000, I would see that as a monster top. I would see that as next, you know, next move down is 2008. But from where we are, around what, 6,500, 6,550?
25% higher, basically.
Yeah, like 20-some percent higher, like 22% higher, yeah.
So what does that, now what does that do to the VIX if we get that kind of move?
I assume it just stays, you know, I mean, I assume it just stays down here in the dumps and, you know, the commercial guys keep loading up and we just get a greater and greater imbalance. I'll say this, though, I'm not ready to pull the so the trade I would be doing is we know that like the commercials are heavily short the Dow, but they're essentially neutral the NASDAQ. So it kind of makes sense to me that I'm seeing maybe, you know, 5-8% higher in the Dow, and I'm seeing, you know, 22% higher in the NASDAQ. So my strategy, I can't just go straight up long without being hedged at these, you know, just from a fundamental level. But if we were to break out in the NASDAQ, and I think we need to go a little bit higher before that's clear, I will go long in NASDAQ, and I'll simultaneously short the Dow. And that way, you know, you get the differential between that potential upside.
All right. Well, let me put a question like this. If everybody's short the Dow, which you say, and obviously you know, and you think that there's a big move, don't you think there could be one hell of a short squeeze in the Dow if we start to see these markets start to pick up far faster?
Yeah, I would think so. But the thing is that the commercials don't, I mean, they don't usually panic, but you know, they don't. If I saw that it was retail guys, non-commercial guys that were short to Dow, I'd be much more worried about that issue there.
Okay. I mean, again, I'm just, you know, I look at things and, you know, I see these things happening, and I mean, I'm in amazement at where we've gone to. But again, one of the things that I look at from my perspective is there's really nobody cares. It's like we always find good news from a fundamental standpoint, and we ignore anything that's bad. And of course, the markets, dull markets, will drift higher because there's nowhere else to go, right? I mean, there's always money flowing in to buy from the funds and all that. So now, what about the Russell? The Russell looked like it had a blow off, you know, the like, you know, I know Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, you know, and just had that major push up. And of course, the Russell has been, you know, just a little bit weaker the last couple of days. What do you see there?
Well, you know, that's what I was looking at for the high 144s in IWM as my lie in the sand. It got crossed, and then the second that happened, you know, we just popped vertically, which is pretty much what I expected. I didn't think it was going to break, though. I thought it would hold. It didn't. At 150, in this 150 to 151 zone, it's at another. It was it very quickly got to my next resistance, and it's in an overbought state. Like I said, it's at 86 on RSI, daily RSI. It's only been that overbought once before. I think it's, you know, I think we're due for a pullback event very soon. I think we're gonna get a pullback to that breakout point, which for me was just below 145. And then I think we'll see if 145 holds as support, you know, like prior resistance becomes support, then, you know, it's potentially viable. But if it, you know, if it breaks back below 145, 140, the high 144s, you know, then maybe we're looking at something a little more negative. But I don't think it should have broken. I don't think it should have broken in the first place.
I agree with you. So let's be clear. So I understand. So you're not buying right now. You're waiting for the overbought conditions to resolve themselves, and hopefully that will bring them back down to the old breakout level, which would be support, and then that would be an opportunity that you would look to buy. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So basically you're sitting on the sidelines a little bit, kind of watching, because there's really not a lot to do in these markets right now. I know there's other markets, but for right now, these markets, you're not participating as much as you have in the past, because a lot of things you've been violated. So now you're waiting for a chance to reenter. And as of today, and as of right now, those charts indicate that the reentry would be to a long position at lower levels from here.
That's it, yeah. And I want to see how the indicators look after we've had, you know, at least a modest pullback. So once I see that, then I can have some feeling for whether or not we're going to, you know, that prior resistance will hold a support or not.
All right. Now, again, listen, it makes sense, and that's why we have you as that's why you're the Bubba Show technical expert, so you can explain these things, because, again, you know, markets are not exact. But your stuff is probability wise, high probability, and, you know, like anything else, you know, you can always have pocket aces, but they don't always win, and understanding where you're trying to go. And I think that's the important thing, is you had the discipline to go ahead and close down some of those positions once you certain things were realized. You said, okay, I'm wrong, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to move on. Correct.
That's correct. Yeah. So right now we're in cash. We're just waiting for the next opportunity. And I think we're, you know, there's other opportunities, like you say, in other markets that should be coming up soon.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you can always find something to trade. I mean, mm-hmm. you do trade enough markets that, you know, that's one of the edges or the advantage of trading more than one market, is that there's other markets that will give you opportunities. So we get all that. And we're going to talk more about it when we come back to the break, because that's important to understand, which is, even when I teach people futures, you know, short term, if you can watch more than one, all you're doing is creating more opportunities, because the charts are the charts, no matter what you're looking at. It doesn't matter. We don't have an opinion of the company or the future. It's just, we look at the chart and that's how we make our decision. This is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert, and he's here. I promise you, everybody. See, I got you on Twitter. I told you everybody you'd be here. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And your Dookie's got whooped too. The Bubba Show Top Wars will be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our technical expert, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Also a Duke Blue Devil, who his team let me down, but Matt never lets me down. He takes care of it, and make sure you got that Demeter Research letter. Make sure you check it out. Really solid information. All right, Matt, so now I have a question for you. I know you trade Bitcoin, and we've had a little pop in Bitcoin, but I want to ask you this question. It may or may not be something you want to answer, or maybe can answer, or may not be in your opinion, but here's the question. I say that Bitcoin is a true free market, unlike some of the other markets that we trade. And I say it is not a fiat currency. I say it's all to itself. And I say that it competes with gold for dollars that are looking to get what they would consider a potential safe haven play. Any opinion?
I agree with all those things. First of all, it's not fiat because it's not by government order, right? And secondly, I think it does compete for dollars that would be going into gold. And yes, I do think it's a free market. I think it's going to be a free market, at least for right now, until potentially it gets regulated and gets put on the futures exchanges or option exchanges, at which point, you know, the big players can come in and mess with it. But yeah, I agree with all those things. I think that gold money has been going into Bitcoin. I think they both have their own unique. There's things that are positive about Bitcoin, things that are positive about gold. But I think they're both better money than what the U.S. government's pumping out.
I agree. And the only thing that I find better about gold than Bitcoin, and again, I don't own any Bitcoin yet. I'm working it, right? But the only thing I think better about gold, I can put it in my hands. That's the only one thing that I like better. But I get it. And I know it's a free market, but some guy told me, you know, he ripped me a new one, right? Telling me that I was wrong. And I just said, look, that's what makes a market. Okay. But I know that, you know, can somebody manipulate Bitcoin? Sure they can. If somebody wants to put up enough cash, enough capital to chase that thing up or down, they can do that. But it's still a free market because there's got to be another side of the trade. So now I one other thing about the cryptos, because I know you're very familiar with them. Does it bother you that they keep opening or bringing up new ones, and how do they do that, and what does that mean?
Yeah, with gold and silver, it's always just gold or silver, you know, right. Or maybe platinum. But with these, they are diluting the number of the whole space by having more of them. So it turns into a tech. You have to kind of question which one has the best technology. So now it becomes, how do I analyze this as like a tech stock? So yeah, it makes it more difficult for sure. And you have to, you know, read more about it. You have to do more searches, and you have to figure out, you know, which one of these is going to be the ultimate. If there's going to be an ultimate winner, like a world currency crypto, then which one will it be? I'm still not quite sure. I think, you know, there's Bitcoin by nature of being so far ahead of everybody else, and the network effect that is already behind it, has a good shot. But I think there's a couple others in there that
Ethereum. Everybody says Ethereum seems to be the best technology wise and the cheapest to deal with. I understand Bitcoin is a little bit expensive to deal with in the open market. I don't know that for a fact. I'm asking you because I know you own both.
Right. So with Ether, my thinking on that is, I could be wrong. So I'm not really an expert on Ether. I just like to chart it, and you know me. But right. What I know it's faster. I know it's the cost of going back and forth is cheaper. Those are all good things. But I also am under the impression that they can print more of it. That if they want tomorrow, they could double the amount of Ether. Now that might be wrong, because that just would show my ignorance on it. But I know with Bitcoin, we're talking about a hard ceiling at 22 million Bitcoin. And then with Ether, I don't know that there's a hard ceiling. I think it could be, I don't know exactly how that mining works.
I understand. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, again, I don't understand. Like, I come to you cause I don't understand it at all. I'm getting better. But I do understand one thing. Any product that trades 24 hours a day, 7 days a week without government interference is a free market. And that's what we have there, unlike what we have in the fiat currencies. And I know you were looking for 122 in the euro currency. We got the 121 and change. Is that far enough, or do we still have to make another run back to 122?
I still think we're going to go to I don't think we're going to make it to 122 anymore, actually. That's changed. My opinion's changed there. That's because I had a more or less flat target in the 122s, and what's happened recently is that declining resistance has fallen below that flat target. So now I'm still looking at a higher price, but the declining resistance is right around 121.85. If it still hasn't made it by next week, it'll be a little bit lower next week when we talk about it. So I'm not looking for 122 anymore.
Okay. And I know you were a buyer of the dollar, and you said that it could go to 89, but you said also that you felt 91 could hold, and 91 stuck like a gymnast and made a 10, and now we're working our way back up. Are you still a fan, or do you look for a little bit of selling pressure? Or do you think it goes higher? Because I know if you're expecting a little bit higher in the euro, then you have to probably be expecting a little bit lower in the dollar just on the pure trade. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we might get maybe either a double bottom in the dollar or go a little bit lower than we've already seen. And I would be a buyer again there. And there I would, you know, put on a larger position. It'd just be the inverse with the euro, like you say.
All right. And you and I do not agree on oil. And, you know, mm-hmm. we both want to be short at just what levels. And, you know, to me, it looked like oil failed once again at that attempt to rally and is now working its way lower again. Are you still looking for that 55, 56 level? Has that changed, or is that still pretty carved in cement for you?
I still think I'm if it doesn't get there, I'll be stuck out of the trade. But I'm waiting for 54 to, I'm looking for 54 to 56, that zone.
Okay.
And once we hit 54, I'm going to start shorting that thing. But I don't think we made it high enough.
Okay. No, again, that's what I mean. This is what makes a market. You know, you're much more of a technician, and I respect your call. I'm just willing to be shorted sooner. That's just me. I hate oil, and I think it's going a lot lower. And it would.
We're in agreement on that. I will say this: we did short some calls, just because we were waiting so long for this to happen. But yeah.
All right. No, I mean, again, it makes sense. Like I said, your opinion is very solid and it's well respected on the Bubba Show. So I got to ask now. Gold has been, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it's not like it's like 7 week lows, but it hasn't get drilled except for the one Fed day. But it's been kind of just limping down slowly almost every day. What are you looking for here? I mean, I thought that, you know, 1262 would be like my drop dead. If it doesn't hold there, then it's probably going back down to 1200 again. What do you think?
I have support coming in at, say, 1220. It's slowly ascending. It's roughly 1228 right now. That would be the first place I'd maybe be looking to buy. And then I have a much, much bigger support that's currently at about 1150. So I would be a buyer at either of those levels. And with silver, I think we're going to the high 15s. So
That was your call, and it looked like we were well on our way there, and we probably will get there. I don't know. You know, maybe it'll be another fat finger jackass that'll flip the button and get them down there so they can go back up again. Now, one of the things about markets, and again, I know this is not up your alley because you don't care about all this stuff, but they're all dead. Across the board, they're all dead. And of course, that takes us to the grains, which you've been bearish soybeans. And of course, they broke down a little bit, and which is exactly what you kind of said. And in corn, you were kind of like, either way. And it's kind of been either way. But wheat has still been, in fact, wheat out of all products in the country or the world, wheat's been the number two performer in the month and the year. What's your take of the grains real quick here?
It's more of the same opinion, really. I still think soybeans have further to fall, and I think corn I'm more bearish than bullish. I'm neutral to bearish on corn as well. Wheat, I'm fine with. If I were to go into trades where I was short soybeans and corn, I would be all at the same time long wheat.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much, you know, just saying this. I have the same tune on that.
Matt Demeter, you are the man, and it's always great to have you on, and I appreciate you being able to be flexible with your schedule because I was sitting in an airport sleeping on the floor. But this is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. He is the Bubba Show expert. Matt, thanks as always, man.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be here, and I'm glad you got back okay.
Me too. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich, LibertyTalk.fm. You can get Matt all the time. I just download a show. He's on almost every Monday, except when I'm goofing around. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.